Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
You play to win the game.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Chris Kerber, does this take you back to your disco days?
Okay, I learned a disco, actually. One of my favorite college classes was ballroom dancing.
Ballroom dancing?
Oh, yeah.
You strike me as a ballroom dancer.
Yeah, I took, you take some different electives, things you may not do, and so, you know, you learn it if you got it, you know, if you need the two-step or you need the foxtrot, you need to do the rumba, you can tango a little bit. You know, you mix in a little disco in there. Absolutely.
So if you had to rank number one of your dancing skills, which one would it be? Would it be the Roomba?
Well, you're okay, let's make something real clear here. I have zero dancing skills.
Okay, but you got to have some. And at the top of the list.
With an attitude like that.
Yeah, no, trust me when I tell you, I have none. All right, but I like my favorite one that I learned, honestly, was the jitterbug.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I thought the jitterbug was fun. The jitterbug was awesome.
I saw a jitterbug in a history
because you got to be moving,
once.
You're kicking, you're doing the same thing. You got to be in sync. You're doing some great leading with some spin moves. You know,
yeah.
The one disco move though, where you come over the head and you put your arms kind of behind and you slide down and spin. I mean, there's some. It was a great class.
Yeah.
Okay. Trust me on this, Alex. It was a great class.
Hey, I did dancing as well and I sucked at it. Which
See,
is
I didn't need to do classes. I'm just self-taught.
Aww.
We've noticed. Take some classes every now and then, Joe.
Nope. I don't need them.
Should take some classes.
Nope, don't need them.
He is a rogue learner.
Joe, you strike me as a salsa kind of guy.
I am 6 inches to the right, and I'm 6 inches
you
to the left.
You do nothing for yourself, so what did you have to learn?
I am in the zone. I don't overextend myself. I go a little bit to the right.
You can't
I go
in those
Are you
pants.
A sway dancer? You go sidestep, sidestep.
I may raise the roof every now and then.
Huh?
Yeah. Throw a little hip thrust.
Ooh. How many shirts do you rip when you raise
then?
The roof?
Well, it depends on how tight I'm using.
Well,
if I'm going baby gap large, then you know I might break a couple.
There you go.
Oh,
well, there's
geez.
A lot of people that are going to be dancing in the streets tonight. What a comeback tonight.
I
say comeback. They never trailed in the game. but we got to go back to something Craig Berube instilled. And, Joe, you touched on this, and for those that may not have hit or those that are stuck in traffic, and by the way, if you're driving home, take it easy.
Yeah.
Take your time. You know, so you get home safely and then you don't cause traffic problems for us when we leave. All right. But the
spot on.
See what I did there?
It's great.
You know, we were talking about Craig Berube and accountability. And everybody in sports wants to talk about accountability. Fans want Cardinals management held accountable because they think it sounds great. You got to hold them accountable. The media's got to hold them accountable.
Right. Right.
The media doesn't hold anybody accountable, just for the records, okay? It's ticket buyers that hold sports teams accountable, all right? But accountability in sports is an interesting thing. How do you handle it? How do you manage it? How do you do it? And one of the things that Craig Berube had to do was instill accountability back with this team. That along with that accountability comes a certain amount of mental toughness to where instead of that game you lose 3-2, 4-2 by the end of the third period, which is what you were doing in the first 20 games of the year, you're winning those games in overtime, and you now have three overtime wins in this 12-game win streak. And, Joe, you talked to some of the guys. You went in the room and you said, okay, we talk about accountability, but how do they define it? And they had some pretty good anecdotes.
Yeah, it was interesting, you know, because like you were mentioning, Chris, you hear that term kind of loosely thrown around all the time. You know, Craig Berube, his big thing is accountability. And I just flat out asked Oscar Sundquist. We sat down this morning after the morning skate out at the Mills. I said, you know, what does that mean? He goes, well, you know, he just makes sure we do the right thing. I go, but Oscar, really, what does that actually mean, though, for him to do that? And he broke it down for me. He said, well, did you watch the Minnesota game the other day? I said, well, yeah, it's my job to watch the game. Of course I watched the game.
I was there.
He goes, did you notice the first period? I go, yeah, a lot of turnovers. He goes, every single player that turned the puck over in the first period, they came back to the bench, and they heard it from Craig Berube. Now, it's not always going to be yelling. Sometimes it's just a pat in the butt. Sometimes it's just like, come on. You know, you're better than that. You're better than that. Is that good enough? It's a constant thing. And it's not just the McGettrins. It's not just the Barbashev. Those are easy, easy targets. And every coach and every player in this league knows it's easy to pick on those fourth line guys. It's easy to tell Robert Thomas, you know, you turn the puck over and set the tone for the bench. But what's really interesting, Oscar Sundquist said, Vladimir Tarasenko turns that puck over. Braden Schenn turned that puck over in that first period in Minnesota, and you could not believe the bench. You could have heard a cricket. It was so quiet after what Craig Berube had said to Vladimir Tarasenko and Braden Schenn. Now, I think that he's vocal, of course, and I think he is holding these players accountable. You turn the puck over, you're going to hear about it. But also on the flip side, you have to give the players some credit too. You have to be responsive, like Chris was saying.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to take that, especially as a leader. You know, Ryan O'Reilly, we know he's going to take it. But Vladimir Tarasenko, I think he's really matured this year. I think he's accepting this kind of harsh criticism at time because he knows that there's a way to play and there's a way not to play. And I think he's starting to hear that from Craig Berube, and he's responding very well to it.
You know, it's so interesting, and you joined us last night on Chili's Week in Hockey, and you talked about how it's like a father figure to these guys. And it's the guy, it's the father figure type where you don't want to disappoint them, but you're afraid of what will happen if you do disappoint them. And I was talking to Cam Jansen today on the Game Day podcast, and you know, the other side of it that I didn't really think of, this is a guy who played over 1,000 games in the NHL as a role of an enforcer. That doesn't happen a lot in the NHL to play that many games. So there's a lot of respect for Craig Berube, and he's played with these elite players before. You know, it's not like he's been on teams that, you know, fourth-line players. He's played with stars in the NHL, so he knows how to play with them. He knows how to coach them. He knows how to communicate with them. And I think that's a difference that this Blues team that they have, maybe they haven't had for the past couple of years.
Yeah, I think he stepped into that role very well. I think he had instant respect from this group, you know, and not saying that Mike Yeo didn't, but I think Craig Berube, it's just he has a different aura about him. He's got presence. Anyone who's ever talked to him, Amy, I know you, and Curbs, obviously, and Alex, he's got this presence about him. He's got this kind of ring around him that you just kind of get, I guess, a little fearful in a healthy way. Like I was mentioning last night, it's like, you know, when your dad gets home, if you're afraid of your dad, you know, you're going to tighten up at the dinner table. You're not going to hit your sister. You're going to put your dishes away because you're a little bit afraid. And I think that that is a healthy fear that some of these Blues players feel because, and you look at not just Craig Berube, but, you know, Steve Ott, Mike Van Ryan.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of goal scorers on that bench. And you know what? You lose Mike Yeo. They didn't bring anyone in.
Yeah.
They kept these guys. I mean, you have three guys on that bench that are rough and tough. They bring the lunch pail with their whole career, and I think they know how to win simple style hockey because they've done it the whole careers. But really, it's really the message they're sending to these players. But whatever they're doing, it's working.
But he had to get buy-in, and he had to get some success reinforcement. All right? And we'll simplify the whole thing up. The bottom line is you won a game tonight, too, because you got some spectacular goaltending again from Jordan Binnington.
Yep.
Good goaltending makes good coaches, like good quarterbacks, makes good head coaches in football, like good pitching makes good managers in baseball. All right? And it's got to start there. That's where the turnaround really goes. But because you look, I mean, even Craig Berube through the first, you know, month or so of his tenure here, it wasn't, you know, he was trying to build something. So he had to, yes, he had that presence that you're talking about and some instant respect, but at the same time, he had to earn that through success reinforcement. If you continue to sputter a little bit, this team might have completely gone the other way. Instead, he really talks about how he saw this team starting to come together on that road trip, you know, before the Christmas break. And then Mike Van Ryan followed it up in our postgame today with talking about the room's different now.
Yeah.
And there's the confidence. And it started with the goaltending and then kind of goes out from there. And now everything's kind of rolling where you're getting buy-in from everybody in every situation. You know, but even if you come in with the respect that you're talking about, you're eventually going to have to be able to back that up, you know, and they're backing it up with results because what he is asking the players to do is turning into victories.
Right.
And that's the key. And, you know, that's what happened at the beginning. Unfortunately, there was no success reinforcement to what Mike Yeo was trying to do. And then it snowballed the other way. Craig Berube went to this room, and this is long before the turnaround. This is only a couple games in, I think, actually, to his tenure, if I remember. I have to go back and look at my notes. But he basically looked at the room, and he said, okay, everybody, take a look at the stat sheet. One last time, take a look at the stat sheet. And then from tomorrow, we're starting over. You know, so because what happens is if you're a player and you're starting, and, you know, it took Alex Pietrangelo that plus six game to get back to even, right?
All right.
Okay, but there's a situation there where you're going, oh, man, and you feel that pressure of a minus seven. I'm supposed to be the best defenseman on the team, you know, and and I'm never gaining on that. I'm never getting back to even, you know. And he said, forget about it. And that's where he started to build a team attitude, is with that kind of comment and that approach in the locker room.
It's funny. I talked to Colton Pareko today about the plus-minus just because it's such a fickle stat, because when you're bad – everyone's talking about the minus, but when you're good, nobody's talking about the plus, other than when you have like a game of Alex Pietrangelo and a plus six. And Pareko said it's kind of the polar opposite as a player. He said when you're on the ice and things aren't going your way, like when minuses are coming, he said sometimes they're in weird shifts where you just jumped on the ice after someone else was doing the work and then a goal goes in.
Or but it's an empty net goal.
Exactly.
Against.
But he said when you're a plus in the run that they've been on, I mean, Pietrangelo was a plus 11, I think, in this 10-game win streak coming into tonight. But he said, when you're a player and when you're going on a plus like that, Amy, he said, you feel that. Like, you feel the momentum when the goals are going in and you're a part of it, or you're just on the ice when it happens. And he said, that's a confidence booster for a lot of these guys out there.
Yeah, and I think a plus minus works best either in a very, very small scale, like a single game to be a reflection of how that player played that game or the situations he was in, or in a very large sample size, like over the course of a season, because you're never really going to look at a plus minus and be, wow, that's shocking that that great player has a horrible plus minus. My example would be the one player who's heads and above everyone else on this team is Ryan O'Reilly in plus minus. I don't know what he is after this game, but he's got to be high 20s. I think he's maybe fifth or sixth in the league.
I think he was plus 26 coming into tonight.
Yep.
Yeah.
And plus 25.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, and
he was on the ice for...
And I believe Vladimir Tarasenko was plus one going into this game.
He was on the ice for one of the Maple Leafs' goal, and then obviously he was on the ice for his goal. So
the trends of plus minus are ones where... you don't read too much into that kind of stat. And I'll give you a couple of examples here. You've got John Tavares, who's got 727 games played before tonight and 684 points and a career minus 28. Now, Morgan Riley was a fifth overall pick in 2012 of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's considered their best defenseman. Okay, he's the one that they want to continue to grow, just 24 years of age. He's their Colton Pareko, if you will. You know, Morgan Riley came into tonight with a career plus-minus of minus 46 in 446 games. Colton Pareko, on the flip side, came into tonight at plus 44 in his 300 games. You know, sometimes it's the teams you're playing on, sometimes it is. The plus-minus aspect is a difficult stat. But what they had to get this team to do, and they've done it, they got them to worry more about the guys around them than their own individual numbers. They got the attitude where it is about coming together as a team. And, Joe, you can't go on a run like this if you haven't come together as a team. And when you hear the coaches talking about what's going on in that room, you know that coming together as a team is there.
Yeah, Jordan Binnington, he used the word selfless the other day in the paper, and it really just kind of jumped out at me because that's not a word really thrown around in this league, especially nowadays. I mean, with social media and everyone just point hungry and everyone wants to look for awards and accolades and all kinds of crazy things. But I really, and I feel this in this room, I think this is a group that has really come together. And, Chris, we're on these planes after these victories on the road, and the guys are having fun. I mean, they enjoy each other. I mean,
the music has started playing again.
The music is playing. They're hooting. They're howling.
And you said that they're joking around with Pat Maroon of the big rig video that he has up there, right?
They're blowing it up. They're laughing. Yeah. They're cracking open sodas or whatever they're cracking open in the back of the plane over there. I'm not really sure. It could be water. But, you know, they're having fun. They enjoy each other. And Craig Berube has figured out a way, like Chris was saying, he's made the team the focus. And that's I'm telling you right now, it's a very, very hard thing to do.
He did two interviews yesterday. Okay. He did one on a local station. He did one on Hockey Central.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is televised on NHL Network. It's a radio show, you know, up in Toronto. in all the different media scrums, of course, because visiting media comes in and they're asking all the same questions that he's getting tired of answering. How'd you turn the team around? Did you see this coming? All that kind of stuff that he's answered here 100 times, but he's got to go into all these different markets and answer it. And he keeps saying the same thing. You got to give the credit to the players. And if you listen to the interview that we did right after this game with Mike Van Ryan,
yeah,
Mike Van Ryan said the same thing. It all goes to the players, and he's deflecting everything onto them because it was them that did the turnaround. He's handling it right. He doesn't want to be in the spotlight of it. Hey, Jordan Binnington, okay. Speaking of how it's all, you know, goes back to goaltending. He's put himself in some rarefied air with the streak that he's on. He's won 9 consecutive games.
That's incredible. Okay?
And according to NHL PR, all right, it's the longest 9-game winning streak by a rookie goaltender since 82-83 when Pelle Lindbergh did it with the Philadelphia Flyers. But keep this in mind. So these are the other goaltenders that, in their rookie season, as a rookie, won 9 straight games. You've got Binnington, Lindbergh I just mentioned, Rick Walmsley did it, the former Blue, but he did it with Montreal. Richard Sevigny did it in 80-81 with Montreal, Terry Sawchuk, and Bill Dernan. Now you go to the next one. These two guys won 10 in a row, all right? So Dernan won the 9, but then he won 10, so he's won 10 in a row. Rogge Vachon won 10 in a row with Montreal in 67-68. I mean, then you've got to go back even earlier. You got to go to 1926-27 to George Hainsworth. I'm sure you all remember him.
No, yeah, George. Right?
Yeah, yeah, George. Oh, yeah. And then you know, Ross Brooks with Boston in 73-74. You know, that's another one, Joey, that brings you back, doesn't it?
Favorite player.
Right?
You know, Joey's got the picture up on his wall.
But, I mean, that's a heck of a run, but that tells you what he's doing. Look,
yeah.
Binnington won that hockey game for his team in the second period.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, those saves well, were
even
outstanding.
That 2-on-1 that he stopped Zach Hyman at the end of the third period, I mean, that's forcing overtime. Otherwise, that could have been over with. So it's incredible, too, as we take a quick break and we'll come back with more in the fourth period. The shutout streak I mentioned in the network post, 173 minutes and 50 seconds of shutout time for Jordan Binnington. It's unbelievable what this kid is doing right now for this team.
And the second longest shutout streak in the history of the franchise when you combine the Allen part of that, too. I mean, it's really been a special run, and you got to sit back, cherish it, and really just enjoy the fun of it.
I said that Sunday after that victory against Minnesota. I said people need to buckle up because this is going to be something that they're going to remember down the road as Blues fans. We'll continue with the fourth period after this quick break. We'll come back. I want to talk a little Vince Dunn with you guys because this is a guy that stuck out immediately in this hockey game, and not just because of his hit that he laid on Kadri. So Amy Mark scores, Alex Ferrario, Chris Kerber, Joe Vitale. It's the fourth period. We're here till 11 o'clock tonight on KMOX.
This is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln & Ford Sports Open Line.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I'd say the only thing I really know is I can do some pasta.
Some pasta.
Ugh.
Joe.
Gross.
As an Italian, that's just... That's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. It's disappointing.
Was that Thomas?
Yeah, that was a choo-choo boy.
Hold on, Mike. Can you play that giggle again for me?
I'd say the only thing I really know is I can do some pasta.
Would you tickle him when you ask him that question?
He and Robbie.
Reach in, just give him a little Pillsbury dough poke right in the belly button.
Robbie Fabry sound like Tickle Me Elmo in the locker room for guts.
Pasta.
Oh, disgusting. That stuck to me. Of Joe there. Pasta.
Yeah, I hate it. All the Canadians say it that way.
I don't think I've ever.
And then we ask Sunco, he goes, oh, I said noodle.
I don't know what kind of accent that was.
It
sounded Russian. My wife's mom calls it muscacholi.
Muscacholi.
What is
it? I said it's mastacholi.
Muscacholi.
Nobody calls it. First of all, there's no U in it.
I think I call it muscacholi.
No, it's mastacholi. Okay. It's spelled mastacholi.
Around here, just deal with it. People say it the way Amy did.
Well, Amy wears cowboy boots with bell bottoms.
There are a lot of people that got married in the 70s and had muscacholi at their wedding receptions.
Exactly.
All right, guys.
Hey, listen, the Dallas Stars lose tonight to Nashville 5-3. And that's one of those out-of-town games. You're going, what would you rather have if you got the victory? Would you rather move to within 2 points of Nashville and keep Dallas close, whatever? But this is the way it all worked out.
Rather no overtime.
So you're exactly right. You'd rather no overtime. So right now... Equally as impressive of this run of essentially 15-2-1 in the last 18 games for the St. Louis Blues, and now a franchise record 11-game winning streak, is just not just the fact that they went from dead last in the league to third in the division, still with a very realistic chance of tracking down the Nashville Predators.
Yeah.
Okay. But the gap that they have built and the cushion they've given themselves now, with Minnesota losing 4-0 to Anaheim and then Dallas losing 5-3 to Nashville, the Blues right now have a 6-point lead over the Dallas Stars. Now, Dallas has a game in hand, so that's a huge game Thursday night against the Dallas Stars. But you've given yourself a 6-point lead. Dallas is the top wild card team. You've got a 9-point lead on Minnesota, who has the second wild card spot, and you still have a game in hand on Minnesota. Colorado and Chicago are both tied for 9th spot. Now, Colorado's played one fewer game than Chicago, but they both have 59 points, right? So the St. Louis Blues now have a 10-point lead over the number 9 team in the Western Conference playoff race, which is the team you got to look out. That's the team you base your magic number off of, basically, right? So you've got a 10-point lead over Colorado with the same number of games played. You've got a 10-point lead over Chicago, still with a game in hand. And to give you some perspective on what that means, if in the final 23 games the Blues went 12-3, which would get them to 93 points, so just in terms of making the playoffs. Now, there's been plenty of times since this new divisional format started where 93 points in the West wasn't going to get you.
Yeah.
And you'd miss the playoffs in the East with that. But
didn't you miss
East,
it?
Thank God.
Didn't you miss it last year with 94?
That's right. So, but if you went 12-11 with 93 points, right, Colorado in their final 23 games would have to go 17-6 to get to 93. Chicago and Vancouver would have to go 17-5. So those three teams essentially would have to do what the St. Louis Blues have just done in their last 18 games, going 15-2-1. I mean, it
won't happen.
That's the perspective. That's the amazing cushion that's on the flip side of this streak.
But you know what's funny about what you just said, Joey? Won't happen. We said the same thing in December, Amy. The Blues needed to play at the same pace the Calgary Flames played.
Well,
the Flames were going on a run.
But I did not say won't happen.
Yeah,
and I have paper proof of what the Blues need
to
do. You just have to have a good attitude. You have to be pathologically optimistic in this world.
She always has to put paper proof in front of you, Joe. Jeez. Jeez.
I like it. I agree
with
her.
I tell you what, though, your bold statements.
With the standings, it makes the trade deadline that much more intriguing. And I know there's still a lot of hockey to be played before the trade deadline. What, you got 4 days? And we talked about how Ottawa's already sitting Duchesne because of the potential move of him. But you talk about Winnipeg, who went all in last year to get Stastny. You talk about Nashville, who is a track record of going all in.
And some rumors have them chasing down Duchesne.
Or
a
Panarin.
Ottawa? Can you imagine the Ottawa Senators giving up what they gave up to get Matt Duchesne from Colorado and now could lose him to free agency? And now you're not dealing from a position of strength like Joe Sakic did, where he held on to Duchesne until he got this absolute Pirates bounty for it. You're now up against a deadline where you're not going to get that kind of value. Maybe you get a first rounder somewhere, but you're not going to get the kind of value you gave up.
No.
Because
you're going to get a 30th pick.
Because it's a rental.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's an absolute disaster scenario for the Ottawa Senators, who, as bad as they are this year, and Ottawa right now, dead last in the East, 49 points overall. So they are dead last in the National Hockey League. The Colorado Avalanche don't have to make the Colorado Avalanche get that pick because Ottawa kept their pick from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado could end up with Jack Hughes, mm-hmm, or whoever else they want to take for first.
Finnish kid.
You couldn't butcher it more than Ottawa did.
I thought you were going to say Pirates booty for a second.
I thought it was Pirates booty.
I was getting kind of hungry.
I went with bounty. I didn't want people to understand booty. There is actually a food, like a kid's snack, that's kind of like the cheese puff thing called Pirates booty.
Really?
Because I was so confused when you just said booty made you hungry.
No, it's my favorite. It's like a cheese puff.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before.
Pirate booty. Oh yeah,
I've never heard of that before.
It's like a white cheese Cheeto on steroids, just a little air puff rather than kind of.
I was
crunchy
so confused, but I was just about to make fun of you, Joe.
Nope.
I'm glad I didn't because you corrected me there.
But to your point about the trade deadline now, okay, go back a season ago where Doug Armstrong made the comment.
Yeah.
And he said that the players make you decide what you're going to do.
Right.
And he didn't have the faith in what he was seeing from the players. And when he could get a first-round pick for Paul Stastny, he went ahead and he made the move.
Yep.
Okay? This year it's totally different. A month ago, you're sitting around – a month and a half ago, you're sitting around and people are saying, okay, what do you do? Do you trade a Petrangelo? Do you trade a Tarasenko? Do you do this? Do you do that? You know, and remember on one of our shows we said, remember we said this here, we still think even with where we were then, Doug Armstrong doubles down on this team.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Because it was just, you know, the core is there. Something isn't clicking right, but you knew the core was there. Well, they've just made his job easier in terms of what they do. And I got to be honest with you, I'm not sure, Joe, that you do anything. Sometimes if you've built your team in the summertime with the right players, if the right move isn't there, you do it. And let's go back to our ballroom dancing thing that we started the fourth period off with. You know, you dance with the girl you brung.
And they brung those girls.
And they brung those girls with them.
We got lots of ladies dancing around tonight.
I had a buddy who texted me and said that they got to make a trade to make this team better. But I said back, I said, why? I said, if you trade for somebody, you're going to trade for a player who's going to be trying to fight for ice time. When you have guys who are already fighting for ice time.
Yeah, now that's true, okay? But Robbie Fabry's having a hard time getting in this lineup on a regular basis right now.
Right.
You still don't know what David Perron is, the scenario is. He's skating, but he's been through this.
Right.
All right? Now, you've got a Mackenzie McEachran. He's been playing well. He's been playing okay. He did get a shot on goal. We only had two players tonight, Oscar Sundqvist and Zach Sanford, that didn't get shots on goal. But he went three games without a shot on goal. If there is a role player that might have some cup experience or some aspect in there that could fit in, you're going to look at that scenario to help this team.
Yeah, good point. I don't think he does anything. I don't think you can. I think every good change that's happened this year has come from within. I look at Berube. You didn't go look for head coach. Look at Binnington. You look into the minors. You got McEachran. He's from the American Hockey League. I mean, the list goes on and on. All the good changes that have happened this year have come within. I think Doug's got to stay strong with it.
Guys, Laura Brannigan has given us our cue. It's been fun.
You know she has the greatest hits album?
I know. She's really good looking. Notice that off the YouTube video.
She's dead.
Okay, was good looking.
Okay, here you go.
Jeez. So.
Jeez,
so,
Alex.
Dark humor.
So gruesome to wrap this
like
one up.
The bone teeth look.
Guys.
Little gaunt.
Guys.
Yeah. Well, the mummification.
I've missed this fourth period.
She needs a little Botox. Face looks a little stretched out.
Jesus. We got to get out here before we say something we're going to regret. We'll talk to you all Thursday night. Blues and Dallas Stars. Be safe out there. This has been the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.